Welcome to the debacle that is the Max Show. It's only 35 minutes since we should have started. Never mind, eh? Wait, is he still doing the washing up? We're here to discuss the week in Apple. We haven't turned his microphone on. We haven't done a sound check, so that's probably going to go horribly wrong when we get to the introductions. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple, what a week it's been, especially if you're a Donald Trump fan. And Kelly, I know, is. Hello, Kelly.
That's the worst thing you've ever said about me.
There are lots of insults you could give to women, and being a Donald Trump fan is probably the worst.
That is. Like, it's hard to offend me. I'm a little offended that you would say that.
I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry, mate. Yeah, no, it was a joke. Absolute joke. If you didn't get that joke, never mind. How the devil have you been this week? How the devil have you been this week?
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sorry, don't give me the silent treatment on a podcast, for Christ's sake.
No, I just didn't hear you. Doing well.
Good.
It's raining really hard here. It's going to do that until, like, April. So, yeah.
No snow.
That's where...
You got no snow?
Yeah. No, we don't... Usually we don't get snow here.
Kelly only gets the rainy season.
Basically, yeah. When we do get snow on this side of Oregon, everybody freaks out. So,
oh, right, okay.
It snows on the other side, and it's not a big deal. But on this side, where there's people, everybody panics.
The sides of Oregon. The sides of Oregon. It sounds like a bad Meryl Streep and Clint Eastwood film.
Or a porn movie.
Or a porn movie, yeah. Thanks, Paul. Do a mic check, Doug, if you want to join in.
Mic check. Check, Mike.
Yeah, switch it on, man.
It's on.
It's what?
Its lights are flashing. God, you're supposed to know about this shit.
should we start again?
its lights are flashing.
Give me the mic.
I don't know how to take it off this thing.
Just give me the mic. Give me the whole thing.
So right now, if you can see a video, this is like that moment where Frodo passes Gandalf the teapot in Frodo's kitchen.
I do have a teapot thought going through me, but it's...
Sit back down, because we're looking at your crotch, and it's not cool.
1, 2, 3.
Lynn, I get to have the Mac Show bug right in my face.
This is shit. This is what you pay good money for. Everyone's
going
to go.
This is the best podcast ever.
Why didn't you post the Max Show this week? And you go, what the fuck do you think? Because it's shit.
I'm a little teapot.
Oh, right, there you go. There's something happening. There is something happening. 1, 2, 3.
What the hell?
There it is. There's the show motivation.
line.
I'm gonna assume that wasn't a Red Bull.
Line 5. No. There we go. Have I done that? Have I solved that? Is everyone getting that?
Yep.
You can hear that now. I'm whispering the mic so that mine doesn't pick it up.
Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
Nino, Nino.
The stream's hanging for me. Is it hanging for you?
1, 2, 3.
There we go.
I'll turn it off. It wasn't worth watching.
It's as close as you're going to get. We'll set it up properly for the big show. We might have to just edit Paul's bit.
we can just edit it out.
Yeah. Next to Kelly is Steve. How the devil are you, mate? Long time no see. You're on mute, dude.
Yeah, still mute.
How long have you been on mute since we started this?
Unmute.
We absolutely cannot hear you.
I'm here trying to run a slick entertainment broadcast corporation and I'm surrounded by... Steve, when you're ready, mate.
Don't know Steve's with
right, okay, we'll come back to you, mate. Next to him, it's Patrice. How the devil are you, mate? You're not next to him, but I don't care anymore.
Doesn't matter. I'm pretty good. It was a crazy day, but yeah, I'm excited for the Mac Show. Whenever it starts. Excellent. Who knows?
Whenever it starts, yeah, because it's not it. next to him, Dark in the studio with Now, come on, mate. This has got to be the grand unveiling.
All right.
And you can buy these off Doc.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
Proctology. For my grand unveiling.
Doc Proc.
This here is a professionally lasered UN cylinder. It's designed for water, but I'm pretty sure it'll be full of beer. And right now, what you see that patina is when the laser burns the paint dust falls back on and causes a patina. But I'm going to polish that off while we're doing the show. Takes about 20 minutes or so, maybe faster. And then on the bottom, it says UN Rankin.
And it's spelt right. Now, that's a massive thing for me, because normally most people just type EWAN or some other derivation that's awful. So,
I copied the guy from Star Wars.
It looks awesome, mate. Looks awesome. And you're going to polish that during the show.
Yeah, I'm going to polish it.
Doc
right
is live, polish it live on the show. Doc is going to polish the rocket. Look at that. He's got a bit of lube. Have you got a sock to put that in? No, he's got a sponge. Yeah.
Sponge, bro.
Real men do it with a scouring pad. Look at that. There's Doc with that. Oh, look at that action. That's going to be a gift before you know it, dude.
Yeah, so anyway, then once I get this done today, I will box it up and send it with all your stuff that I have. I was waiting to do this because I didn't want to send two packages.
I was waiting to do this is going to be a song on YouTube with that video underneath of your hand moving backwards and forwards, mate. That's going to that video's never going to leave you. That's going to be like shit on fur, mate.
You know what's funny is, actually, before I did this one, I did a prototype, and I realized just the way that you guys sent the file is backwards, so it'd be like...
I knew it'd be my fault.
I did this weird prototype on green, and it seemed like it was going to be way too much silver, but I'll polish it out so you can see the two, and tell me which one you like better.
Okay, mate. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, the man who has come all the way from Glaswegian Edinburgh land... according to Doc, to be with us.
Nick Paris.
It's Wheaters. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. You might need Mike a little closer. It might need to be a bit more DJ.
The last time when I was here we go, it's the soul hour with Wheaters. Last time I was here, you were complaining about it was too close because it smelled like urine the next morning.
I have no recollection of that conversation. That sounds like I'm being impeached, doesn't it? The US president being impeached.
I didn't say you dipped it in peach. I was just suggesting that you suggested that my alcohol breath smelled of urine. I think that was basically what you were saying.
I didn't say I dipped it in peach either, but never mind. Well, on that very note of talking about impeachment, let's go to a story about Donald Trump. Because I've got to say, if there's anybody who is going to echo the Nixon, I am not a criminal speech, it's got to be this guy. The carpet-haired freak has said that... what's going on? What's that noise?
Steve is probably back.
Steve? We haven't introduced Steve, have we? Because he was offline. Hello, Steve.
D-Pen, why are you calling me? I didn't do that.
Pop.
Oh, I know why it's not working. I've unplugged Steve.
I told you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. That wins. Why are you blaming me for stuff? I didn't do anything.
Hello, Steve.
I have no idea.
Hello.
Let me tell you. 10 minutes ago, Patrice said, Ewan probably muted him. Yes. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I ended up doing is unplugging my mic, and I'm just using the built-in mic on the Mac now. So.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. You don't have to do that anymore, sweetheart.
Yeah, no, because the moron that's driving the show has realized his mistake, so.
Okay.
You win. I'm going to have to tell you you're fired.
start again. Steve, I can edit, don't worry.
All right. Who else is here, Ewan?
Wait, let's gonna have another beer before we start.
Because look how well that served you.
No, I'm joking.
All
right. Okay. That's all right.
I become president of the United States, the first thing I'm doing is going to the UK and firing that UN ranking and getting my hair fixed.
I'm now unplugged.
No, you're not. You're actually plugged in, but it's...
I'm really, really quiet.
Oh, this has gone off well.
Okay, so I'm...
All right, I can hear you fine.
Yeah.
Hello, Steve.
Oh, I'm back. Yeah, okay.
I am sorry, mate. How the devil are you?
Damn good. Yeah, I think.
Here's me sitting going, you moron, you've muted yourself, and you haven't. It's. I've unplugged you completely.
Oh, sheesh.
I'm so sorry, pal. We love having you honest. So while we're on the subject of morons, let's go back to Donald Trump. Donald Trump has said that, I'm talking about me there, Steve, by the way, not you. Donald Trump has said that Apple, he would force Apple to produce all of their stuff in the US to give US citizens jobs. And actually, this is probably not the best story to start with, is it? But
We could use a laugh.
Anyone got any comments other than wanker?
I got a huge comment. And let's just ignore the fact that Trump is a wanker. Let's just ignore that.
That's pretty difficult, though it's extremely hard to do. You're asking a lot there, mate.
I know what I'm saying. Yeah. Even though it's extremely hard to do. He's saying it because a lot of Americans feel that. But the same Americans that feel that don't realize that we don't have a school in the United States that specializes in the tooling and stuff that it takes to require these type of electronics. We also have cut this type of electrical engineering out of most of the major universities, and we don't start in the high school level because we're still on the old arithmetic, reading, writing standard up until you're in like 12th grade, and like testing, even though it has been proven over and over and over and over again that standardized testing are BS, no one's fixed the education system. So our biggest problem is, even if we put all that stuff in, Apple says, you know what, Trump? We agree. And we got the money and we can do this. So we're going to bring everything here and we're going to make it happen. Nothing would get built. Not a single thing. We don't have the resources. We don't have the manpower.
Not for years.
We don't have the, we don't have the proper thing. And lastly, the most important one is our work ethic is so different from work ethic outside the U.S. We believe in, I don't need to come to work because my dog is sneezing, so I'm going to take the day off. My wife is sick, so I'm going to take the day off. We are the laziest excuse makers at not showing up for work. That doesn't really go in other countries. It doesn't fly. Like, you could be half bleeding, you still show up to work.
Yeah.
And so there's another thing.
Even if that happened, if everything was moved to the US, you know what would happen? They would probably buy some people from China or get them in the country, build a huge farm of robots and have everything automated. There wouldn't be a single job created in the US. Because it's cheaper to have robots doing it than to have actual people doing it.
The flip side of that, because 8 years ago now, I guess, there was no app store. There were no indie developers. There were no people making money by writing apps for your phone. None of that existed. None of the stuff that people are doing now that's very common was actually, like, none of that existed. This whole market for people who write iPad apps, people who write iPhone apps, all of the folks that we all know who are indie developers and able to make their living at that would not have that opportunity if it weren't for Apple, number one. And number two, apparently, a lot of people are neglecting to realize that there are a lot of Apple products that are made here. And to get back to Doc talking about the work ethic in America, like, the other thing to think about is that assembling these phones is, sitting on an assembly line is a particular type of job. And most people in America are not going to do that job. It's the same sort of thing as picking tomatoes and, you know, harvesting, whatever other sorts of stuff that tends to be a very manual process. Whenever you get to those, you know, you tell somebody, well, you can go pick strawberries. Like, they're like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that's totally an attitude in America that we get all the time.
You need some
and the
Lithuanians.
Reason for that is because if somebody were going to do that, you know, you would have to pay the minimum wage. And that's not going to happen. My real question for Donald Trump is, if he's so concerned about everything being made in America, how come none of his stuff is? He has all those shirts and all those and ties, toupee. And they all come from other countries.
Surely his toupee is not made in America, is it?
Yeah, they wouldn't have the tooling for that.
No,
they wouldn't. You know, Kelly, you bring up a very valid point, but here's something that a lot of people don't know. I've been to Foxconn, and I've seen the iPhone room. There's not a human hand that touches the iPhone when it's in assembly. Not a single one. So even if they brought it to the U.S., Patrice is right. It's all the iPhone part is completely robotic. iPad, yeah. They only put in the cellular parts. The rest of it is all robotic. And they did it on purpose because of the tolerances are so tight that humans can't even do it if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Batwench brings up another point, which is something else. Like,
and there's a whole pile of YouTube
Donald
videos
Trump
that prove
get
it.
Wives from America?
Why don't what?
Why does Donald Trump have to import his wives? What's wrong with American women?
Well, because they're cheap.
Because they know them.
I can tell you. That's a whole separate show.
Kelly, are you volunteering?
God, no. But the last two have both been foreign. That's all I'm saying.
So two's a pattern.
Ivanka's a down-home girl. Well,
okay, two-thirds. Okay. One out of three Trump wives have been American. What's so wrong with American women that he has to keep importing them?
That does sound like there's a fee to import them. Oh, Doc saves us from a conversation that's really inappropriate. With
all right, which one do you guys
shiny
like better?
Bottle.
Oh, I want both.
No, you can't have both, Dick. Oh. But which way looks
those
better?
Are pretty.
The blue way or the green way?
Blue. I like the blue better.
Not yeah. The color, dude. I'm talking about the engraving.
Yeah, the blue one. I like the blue one better.
Yeah, Jesus the blue Christ. One looks yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Okay, that was the one I fixed. This was the original way you sent it, and I realized it just had like a little too much silver. It seemed like you were being like flamboyant, which is a French word, which explains everything. So,
but we sent you a four-color logo. I'm not sure it's our fault, but go on.
Yeah, but I'm saying I have to convert it the way the logo was made, so I had to reverse it. But anyway, I like okay. It better this way, too.
I do, too.
So...
Dude, right. That is awesome, man. Thank yeah. You. There we go.
How do you spell Paul Wheatley? I'm going to put G-L-A-S-S-H-O-L-E.
I thought it was H-O-B-B-I-T.
A Hobbit. Nope. Oh, Hobbit, look who's talking. Look who's talking, Kelly. Knee biter.
I
somebody
think
a Hobbit.
I can get away with that joke. He and I see eye to eye. Literally. Yeah.
I don't know.
I've got a picture that says different.
Yeah, there is a small height difference.
A small one.
No, I'm that small that in a couple of my wedding photos, I'm genuinely standing on a brick.
Is Kirsty taller than you?
No, she's the same height, but we're exactly the same height, but she was wearing heels on her wedding. Yeah. So I had to stand, there's a couple of her wedding photos where I'm standing on a brick and then her dress is kind of draped around my leg so you can't actually see that I'm standing on a brick.
Why didn't you wear heels?
There we go. I have actually heard that Paul Wheatley's a brick before. But no.
Patrice, I love your answer, Patrice.
Well, technically, I was wearing brogues, which have a heel, but it wasn't good enough because she was wearing Jimmy Choo's.
Yeah, but it's not like it's Cuban, is it? I mean, no. It's about the width of a Swan Vesta matchbox, which actually is where you live. thanks for feeding me that line, Weezers.
It's actually blue ribbon. Swan Vesta's is like a mansion. It's ridiculous. I could fit two cars in that garage.
Apple may be in trouble with the EU because they've been avoiding tax, apparently, in Ireland. Oh yes, they could owe more than 8 billion in European tax probe. Apple could owe more than 8 billion in back taxes in European Commission find that their iPhone makers' corporate tax policies in Ireland were illegal.
Ooh.
They've been scrutinised for corporate tax avoidance in Europe over the past few years, and the European Commission began Apple's tax probe in 2014 and is accusing the iPhone maker of receiving illegal state aid from Ireland 3 months later. Any comments?
Is evasion or evasion?
Evasion.
This is a little ridiculous. Yeah.
It's not evasion. What it, yeah, it was perfectly legal under the laws at the time, and now they want to change the laws and do retroactive taxing. So I think it's a little bit...
disingenuous is the word you're looking for,
Yes, that's exactly it. Thank you very much.
I just caught a laugh at Steve's hat because I know he lives in Colorado.
That's why I put it on. Even though it has nothing to do with that.
I thought it said High Life, but it says High Line. Okay, I got it. These stories where everyone keeps getting all up in arms about, you know, what rat companies are doing about taxing is a little crazy because they always pull Apple because they make the most, so they have the most to do. But every single company does this exact same thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah. Well,
somebody recently posted a chart that showed Google and Microsoft and Dell and HP and all of the global providers, including some of the automakers, they showed what they all put in. And yet, Apple has the biggest number because they're making the most money. Yeah. But don't kid yourself. They're not by themselves.
It's their fiduciary responsibility to their stakeholders. Not to cheat, but to avoid as much tax as possible. If they were going out giving all the tax that they possibly could that wasn't necessarily due, that they would actually have a problem with their stakeholders and stuff because they're spending too much money.
Fiduciary responsibility.
No, I've already used that one. I was trying to use a different word. My theosaurus was kind of trying to kick in the back of my head.
Well, yeah, but your theosaurus is directly inversely proportional to the number of Thatcher's gold that you've drunk.
hey, doing? You know, if you hold this shot on Paul right now, the two green things coming out of his head kind of looks like freaking what do you call them? Ponytails.
I wish I had that much hair. I really wish I had that much hair.
You know the one with Sully and Mike Lebowski and a little kid Boo? Yeah, with the two little things sticking out.
Yeah.
Monsters Inc.
Mike Lebowski.
So, part of the issue I think is what I always have ended up calling the Foxconn problem, which is everybody like waving their hands and hollering about how horrible it is that Apple makes this stuff in China and doesn't pay the employees very much money who are doing the actual assembly. And yet everything else that has a USB cable comes out of, in some cases, exactly the same factory. And that's the same issue that we're having here. Like any company, the thing that kills me about all of this is that these are the same kind of companies that can get away with relocating to a certain place because of the unbelievable tax breaks that they get. Yeah. And they get, you know, amazing tax breaks for 25 years to not whatever, you know, Nike is an example I can give because they're just over there. And they get like big fat tax breaks for having their world headquarters out there in Beaverton, which is just west of me. They're about half an hour away. And all of this stuff is really, 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 really common. And like particularly in the United States, you always hear the stories that go around about the company that like actually managed to get a tax refund. You know, Enron pays like $100 in taxes, you know, at the peak of the Enron is screwing everybody at every turn scandal. It was like, oh, and by the way, they also basically don't pay any taxes. And, you know, in the United States, like companies look at that as like a point of pride. Like, look how well I'm able to work the system. So when they do it in another country and people in the United States are like, that's so terrible that they would do that. I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah, look locally. You know, Nevada has so many Apple factories right now. Up near Reno. And, what do you call it? Data centers. And one of the reasons that they've been building that there is, hey, they're getting basically kind of a nice little tax deal, property tax deal from the folks in Reno County or whatever the county happens to be there.
And utilities, too.
You like, wonder why so many companies like, what's the name of that one that just got started? The car company
Tesla.
They're going to... No, not Tesla. The other company, Nissan. Very similar. Begins with an F. FF. Future.
Oh, yeah. Something I know who you future. Mean, and I can't think of it.
Faraday Future. That's it. Faraday Future. They're being funded by China. They're building their plant in North Las Vegas. Why? Because they can get themselves a nice big tax deal for doing it.
Yeah.
And all of Apple's facilities in Texas are built in certain areas because, like near Austin, because they get a nice tax deal. You know, it's like
there's a reason I live as close to everybody's data centers as I do. I am within driving distance of Google and Amazon and Apple and Facebook. All four of them have data centers.
Just to remember, I mean, almost all big movies are doing the same. They get some kind of money, some support, or some advantage for filming in, I don't know, Vancouver, for example, or
the UK whatever. The UK is giving a lot of tax breaks and things like that and benefits to companies coming across here and filming over here. And they also did it back in like the it was the 40s or something like that. So that's why so many Disney live action movies in the 40s have British actors and actresses in them, because they did the same thing in the 40s as well, or the 50s, I think.
Yeah, so if you notice, all of the Age of Ultron, Iron Man, whatever, is like they did that all in the UK.
Game of Thrones.
Then also, if you notice recently, after right about the time of Lost, the TV show Lost, there was all of a sudden a whole bunch of films filmed in Hawaii. So all of the Pirates of Caribbean, of course, Lost, and then you got Hawaii Five-O, what came out after that. And that was the same thing. We gave something called a HR 22 tax break, and it changed the market here. Really, like, there's something in production every day in the state of Hawaii, including a movie called Aloha with no Hawaiians in it. But yeah, like The Descendants was filmed across the street from my house. We were doing a Talk TV Live, and I remember taking the cameras to the balcony to show them, like, down there is George Clooney and the crew running around filming in the old CompUSA where I used to work at. And they filmed, built their house inside the old CompUSA before they knocked it down.
Parts of World War Z were filmed in the center of Glasgow as well. They're all at it.
I thought you said you weren't on that side.
I'm not on that side, but I have acquaintances on that side. Realistically, it's like 30 miles away. Scotland is 30 miles wide. You know, it's probably Hawaii's bigger.
Yeah, 500 miles tall.
Yeah, so human bum.
Hey. Like, no, hang on. A free flax doesn't get you that kind of leeway.
Well, I could have said Batwinch's chest, but I was trying to keep it.
No, the flask isn't big enough for Batwinch's chest. She can carry an extra pint to the table in those two. I want to know why, because Kelly, your sentence, mate, you said, there's a reason I live right next to Google's data center. It sounded more like they had really good cafes that you frequented rather than the fact that they got a tax break from Oregon.
But the two big reasons that they came here is because, A, they get big fat incentives for building the data centers here. And then B is infrastructure. There are a whole bunch of parts of Oregon that are exceptionally, breathtakingly deserted. And so there's space for a giant building. There's space to put a whole big, you know, you could put a friggin' moat around your building if you want to, and that's a thing that you could do. And, you know, you have security as like a non-issue. You have access to everything. Like, the power grid is not very overloaded here. The data transfer lines are not very overloaded here. And electricity is very inexpensive because we do a whole lot of hydroelectric power here. So when what you need is a whole bunch of space to power a whole bunch of computers, a big flat area like Oregon is a really good place to do that, because there are big flat parts of it. I know there's a mountain range down the one side, but on the other side, but in the middle, it's all flat, because that's the part I used to live in. And having access to all of that stuff, like, if you were going to try to put a data center in Southern California, the power grid is taxed there. You know, all the brownouts and stuff we hear about whenever the weather fluctuates. The phone grid is taxed there. Data transmission is taxed there. And I don't mean taxed like there is a fee for using it. I mean, like, capacity-wise, like, it's much... There's a whole lot more traffic and stuff on that than there is if you're here. So, you know, because we have access to the exact same lines, but we don't have Los Angeles using them. So there's a whole lot of that makes it that makes it very appealing to come here. And then when you add to all of the space and all of the power and all of the data transmission that you want, when you take all of that and then Oregon says, and we will give you the land with zero property tax for 25 years, like, who wouldn't move?
It takes you back to the 1840s.
Like, I know what it takes to make Boardman, Oregon an appealing place because I lived there and you would have to work really hard. And what you do is you offer bonkers tax benefits in order to move somebody there. And that's where Amazon is.
Or 40 acres of land free of charge.
Basically, yeah. For a very long time. Like, I don't know what kind of deals they actually made, and I don't know how much of that ends up actually having to be disclosed. But yeah, if they are paying anything, it's basically chump change as far as taxes go.
Supposedly, this is an iPhone next generation, which is 4 inches in screen size.
Okay. But
everyone says, nah, bollocks, it's a 6S. It's
more Hobbit movie trickery.
Well, yep. No, there's been a couple of
moves. That's my hand to make it look proportional.
It's Wita's hand. No.
The Galaxy.
Kelly, can I finish the introduction to the story before you take over? Good grief, woman.
Okay, I'll give you one. Go.
Thanks, mate. I do appreciate that. But there's been. This is apparently complete and utter bunkum. But there is a suggestion that Apple are going back to a 4-inch screen. And I just think, no, I don't want a 4-inch screen.
Yeah, but you're on a 6S Plus, aren't you?
I'm on a 6 Plus.
You're on a 6 Plus, yeah. So
what's it going to take?
Yeah. No, please, Kelly,
what I'm saying is that you had all of those things where we had the iPhone 4S, and I was like, I just want a bigger screen. And then the 6 came along, and I was like, yes. And they've gone the right way about this. And everyone went, yes, I love the bigger screen. Even if you didn't want the Plus, you still had the 6. And it's just like, why on earth are you going to go back to a 4-inch? Because that just makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, it does make some sense. I have a few friends that, I mean, they got a 6 or even a 6S. They used it for a while, and they really don't like it. It's too big for them. They really love the 4-inch they had before that, and they really want to go back.
Can we exclude the Hobbit hands from this conversation as well?
What?
The funny story about that.
Is that as in me and Kelly aren't allowed to talk? Is that what you mean?
You're just not. No, you talk all you like. You're just not allowed an opinion.
Okay.
You know,
I'm going to talk about other people.
Kelly. The joke about you not being allowed an opinion was a joke. Don't dive in automatically with an opinion. You will get to express yours, but just let Steve Sandy talk because he's in charge of a massive publication.
Steve, go ahead.
Yeah,
massive.
Well, okay, big enough to stop Kelly talking, but go on.
I have to agree with Kelly. I have to agree with Patrice because, you know, he made the comment there are some people who think the 6 Plus is just too big. It was funny because last Friday, my wife and I went over to the AT&T store near us, and we were going to buy a brand new iPhone 6S or 6S Plus. And after a couple of things, like finding out that it was going to be ridiculously expensive because apparently she's got like 3 months left on her contract.
Oh, you don't buy a contract?
She took a look at the actual phones and said, this thing is actually way too large. And yeah, I think there is a market for the smaller devices. Plus, screen size going to be a little bit smaller. You put the new internals in there and you're going to have something that's going to be very, very fast. Probably use a hell of a lot less battery power. I personally think it's a great idea. You need a replacement for the 5C. So yeah, I think something's going to come out, but probably not in the next couple of months.
So there's going to be 3 phone sizes available?
No.
In the 7?
Not
there
even.
There are now.
No.
There's the 5S. No. That's what Kelly means.
You can still buy a 5S.
Yeah, or the 5C, yeah. Sorry. The 5C, sorry. Yeah,
5C.
The C.
That doesn't count.
Why not?
Because it's not in the 6 line.
But if you had
three sizes in a single line. If you did 3 sizes in the 6 or 3 sizes in the 6S, then there'd be 3 sizes. Just because you've got a 5 left over in stock, it doesn't make
the 5C, that's currently the cheap phone, the color phone, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I know, but it's not in the line of the current model, is it?
But it's not a 6.
Well, you could do the same thing. You could make it a 6C, and then the two new machines are the 7 and 7 Plus, so...
No, if you're going to stock three items of something in three different sizes, it's got to be in at least the same range. It can't be in last year's range or any of that kind of crap. Anyway, but go on, dog.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the other option. No, I mean, that they released the 7 and the 7S with a new model and have the 6 minus.
Did I say that in a different language or something? Anyway, go on, Doc.
Patrice wasn't finished.
Patrice wasn't invited to start!
I didn't know we had to wait for invites.
I said, go on, Doc.
Okay, so the reason why this is crazy...
We all
anecdotally have friends that say it's too big. But I bet you, even in your own backyard duct tape research, if you counted the people that says that against the people that actually have the regular phones and are happy with it, you're going to come in with less than 2-3%.
Agreed.
Apple does not make changes with 2-3%.
Thank God.
And that means even if you're Patrice and you got four friends, which is me, Ben, Jerome, and his other hand, none of us are going to say it's too big. Right? So you add his outside friend from work, which says it's too big, that puts it at like not even freaking 10%.
See, you hobbit hands all stick together as well.
Yeah, so there's not enough people for Apple to make that move just because of such a niche market. And the same people who are talking that crap used to own a Motorola, like big white honking freaking like 8-pound phone, and thought it was the coolest thing since gravy.
So, yeah.
There's the idea that it would take the 5C spot. It would be the cheap phone.
You just stole that. I was going
to
say that.
It's not cheaper to go smaller than it is to go bigger, so it wouldn't make a big enough dent to make it worth doing.
Kelly's got a hand up, so Mikey, quick pull.
Doc stole my thing.
No, Doc stole your thing. Right, Kelly, it's your turn.
Well, my question is, what's it going to take? When we had the 4 and the 4S, everybody went, Apple needs to make bigger phones, bigger phones, bigger phones. And so then they did. They added basically another row of icons to the 5S.
What it's going to take is...
I won't give my opinion about that, but basically it got one row of icons taller and people went, that's not enough. You need a bigger screen, a bigger screen. And so then Apple made the 6 and the 6 Plus. And now everybody's going, your screens are too big. Your screens are too big. So, what's it going to take?
Is anybody doing that, though?
To make people happy?
No, they're not. That's the point. Honestly. Anthropometrics is what it's going to take, mate.
Hold on a second. I'll just Google that. Anthropometrics.
Anthropometrics.
I just think it's ridiculous. But I do... The only reason I think that something like this would have any weight is because they like to have, you know, the free phone. Like... If you don't look at it in terms of specs, if you look at it in terms of price, for a long time, Apple has always offered three models. There's the free phone, there's the little bit subsidized phone, and then there's the less subsidized phone. You know, so you can get the, not in capacity, but like you can get the 4S for free, you can get the 5 for $99, and you can get a 5S for $199.
Right,
magic that happens in the United States that's slowly going away.
Let's just set the parameters for the conversation, though, Kelly, because I think there is the iPhone and then there's the trailer trash phone. And I don't want to include the trailer trash phone in the conversations about the iPhone because it's gone, it's done.
The 5C, no, I disagree, the kid's phone.
Ewan, I have to disagree because, for us, that might be the case, but if you look at it from an average customer's perspective, it's just the iPhone. If they go into a store to buy an iPhone, they will get all the three options.
Nope.
Most of them won't even know that it was the old phone from 3 years ago.
Nope, because
they just want an iPhone.
If you look at the sales figures say that the iPhone is the thing which sells.
Well, that's because they don't tell us anything else except weekend we had this many sold or whatever. Like, you don't ever get, you know, this is how many 5Cs we sold last quarter. Like, they never do that on the earnings call. So there may be some merit in them having a third model in the way of price, but for them to come out with a new one would be surprising. Does that mean I think they're going to do it? No. Does that mean I think they won't do it? No. We never know. So I'm going to wait and see on it, but it does make sense that they would have the free, the 99, and the 199. Like I said, even though that sort of thing is going away as contracts start to erode
Mate,
in the U.S.
If we did this show based on what we know, it would finish after Hello, Welcome to the Mac Show. So
I got two words for you guys. iPad Pro.
Of course
you do. When Apple made something specifically designed for a niche market, and now they're only selling to us, the niche market, the whole freaking bunch of a-hole analysts and media people are going, the iPad Pro is not selling. See, Apple went out and made a niche market product and it's not selling. How stupid of Apple to make the iPad Pro. And now they're saying make a 4-inch phone. Like, make up your mind, frickers. On one page you say make the small phone.
Talk.
Next page you say make the iPad Pro because it's niche market.
You don't want to go up in the blood pressure drug dose.
Oh my God, apoplexy.
I get upset because I really, really hate the way the media does it. And
I shouldn't have started the show on the fine thing. I'm sorry, Matt and the Donald.
I did it deliberately.
I shouldn't have done it.
Silver polish. Take a deep breath.
The last thing that's really important, I think, is really, I think the only reason why they're calling for the small phone is people are looking for the Apple Next Thing product. And then so the big phone was big enough to kind of sort of be a next thing. It's not a whole thing different from the phone. It's not the real TV or the real car, but it counted enough because it caused enough upswell that they got to talk about it for 3 months. So by making this quote-unquote small phone, Apple is making this other new thing. And Apple doesn't really need to make the new thing because they're winning with what they're making.
Agreed. For once. Mm-hmm. There we go. Has anyone tried Music Memo? So you've got your upgrades to 9, iOS 9, and to 10.1 El Capitan as well. But on iOS devices, you now have the Music Memos recording device, and also a massive upgrade, allegedly, to GarageBand. Has anyone had a play? Because I haven't.
Yes, RockBand,
yes.
EMB,
Music Memos.
So someone cool. Start us off then.
I will. Because I can't play any instruments. So Music Memos, I took this thing out yesterday, installed it, hit the button, and just for the heck of it, I went in and I whistled a tune, with a nice beat and everything else. A couple of seconds later, I'm done recording. I go in, I add drums to it, I add bass to it. It was like magic. And, I think for people who are like me, who may not be able to play an instrument, it's a way of getting an idea, some musical tune that's going through your head, some little theme that you've had out there. Actually getting that down and then being able to capture a little bit of it, maybe move that into the new updated GarageBand for iOS and do some amazing things. I was totally impressed with it. I just wish I could play an instrument.
So what does it do? I haven't actually downloaded it or looked at it or anything like that because I've been traveling for the last couple of days, so I didn't want to risk doing the update or anything. So is it literally just you can record yourself like singing or humming or playing a tune or something?
Well, it does some pretty amazing things
to what people were doing previously, which is use voice memos, which is sort of only tuned to a spoken voice and not necessarily like I'm going to plink something out on the piano or I'm going to hum it or I'm going to whistle, that kind of stuff. So it's tailored to that, and that stuff can go straight into GarageBand. And it's right. A much smoother process than what people were using before, which is record it in voice memo, figure out how to get it from voice memo to the computer, and then put it into GarageBand in some weird way, which I think there were a lot of steps if you were using voice memos and trying to put them in GarageBand. Right. And then this gives you a way to go, like, I'm just going to go, I have this idea, na, 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 and then I can go home later and I can expand on that, in whatever way I want to.
So does it work
better with GarageBand.
Plus, if you're playing on a piano or a guitar, it'll actually, as you're doing you do your recording, it analyzes the recording and it'll actually go in and show the different chords that you were playing.
Nice. Okay.
Right on the recording, which is pretty darned amazing because it just... suddenly makes that process, a hell of a lot easier instead of going in, did I do a, G flat or whatever? I have no idea what I'm talking about. But anyway, if you, it's great. I honestly think it's it's a great tool for those of us who are not super musically inclined. I do a lot of vocals, but I don't do any instruments. But, you know, for people who do actually play instruments, who do want to get further into being able to publish music, do whatever, write songs, or do some amazing things, yeah. It's just taking a lot of the scut work out of the beginning of that. And that's great.
One of the cool features, Steve, is if you look at the app, which is going to be hard to see here, is there's a little tuning fork, and you can click on the tuning fork and hit a note and see if you're hitting that note. So if you're a vocalist and you're trying to hit a C, you can hit the tuning fork and you can adjust your thing until you hit a C. Right now I'm too close, so it's saying too loud. The other thing that you could do is now you can make your own jingles for your podcast, right? So you can the British Tech Network. And then when you stop, it says that there was D minus B A flat. And then when you play it back, you put a guitar and a drum and you go, and see, and then it's kind of cool, but it adds a drum and a guitar to it. It's really fun. Like, I was just dicking around yesterday and I'm kind of mind blown by it.
I'm gonna have to upgrade.
But Apogee are really pissed off.
Yeah, where's Lee when we need somebody that knows what the hang
this was
doing?
Lee's story, wasn't it? Yeah, absolutely, this was Lee's story.
He was supposed to be on tonight.
He was, yeah, but he's cried off, so never mind. The other thing that Lee did tweet about as well is the fact that the new iOS gives you your night shift stuff as well.
Yes.
Now, he swore blind that he had a better night's sleep after he installed night shift on the beta. But he thinks that might just have been a placebo effect. Has anyone had a go at this and tried to do a scientific study on whether it makes any difference or not?
Oh, no. I was going to say, you know, you probably saw me nodding my head. I've actually been using night shift on an iPad mini that I kind of use while watching TV and things like that. So I don't think I'm getting all the effect. I got to say, though, that I do feel like my eyes are not getting as tired as they would when I normally would be sitting there with this bright bluish screen glaring in my eyes. And, you know, once again, that could be a placebo effect. But just from my personal standpoint, I really honestly think it's a good thing. My eyes don't feel as tired, as red, as, you know, whatever, irritated, as they normally do. And that's been since I installed 9.3 beta on that machine.
Excellent.
I've been waiting for this for years now. I mean, I've used Flux on my Mac for a couple of years, and I really like it. I mean, I only deactivated for Photoshop and stuff like that because, well, it messes with the colors. So, I mean, the minute this came out, I installed it on all my devices, really. I wish my Apple Watch had that too, to be honest, but yeah. It's not as big of a deal because it's not as bright.
No.
Slightly related is I was just talking to someone the other day because I was at the movies. Guess what movie? And
Star Wars.
A person next to me was eating popcorn, like in the same row, was eating popcorn, and every time he reached for popcorn, his watch lit up. And so it was very distracting. And so we were talking about how there should be like a movie mode or something, you know, because Do Not Disturb still lights it up. So, you know, we were talking about how there should be like movie mode or something like that where it's like, where it will like stay dark until you have some, you know, some command, some combination of, you know, pressing buttons and pressing on the screen or something that maybe works it out. But like, it would be nice, I think, on the watch as well. That's one thing I've heard from a lot of people who are new to the whole idea. I've had Flux on my computer for like four computers now. Like, it's been a long time. And I really like that it's very subtle, that like you don't really notice it doesn't just all of a sudden turn everything yellow. And I don't do anything, particularly in the evening, that's necessarily very color dependent. So I don't need to make sure that I'm using some specific value or something. Like, I don't have calibration to worry about. So to me, it's not that big a deal. But I have noticed, at least with my computer, that it doesn't, that I feel like I'm ready for bed when it's bedtime. Like when I close my laptop, then, you know, I don't have that whole, like, I still feel like I'm awake and I need to, like, relax, be able to get to sleep. So, I really like it.
No, I have that problem. Mm-hmm. When I close my laptop rhythms. Or shut my computer off, I look around thinking, I got nothing to do now. My entire life exists inside this box. And when it's closed, I'm lost. Entirely. Hermes is going to start selling a watch at a vastly an Apple Watch at a vastly rip-off cost, which...
What is that noise?
It's Doc polishing his rocket. there we go. You know that because he's just switched it off. $1,100 for one, which is just like... I'm sorry, but that is economic gouging of people. I couldn't care less about it. And if you're interested, I'm rushing through here because we're getting run out of time because we started late. Worldwide Developers Conference is likely to take place 13th to the 17th of June, because if you go to Moscone West Center's dates, those are the only ones that aren't available. They can't hide it. No matter what they do, they cannot hide it.
So not the 6th through the 9th, which is also blocked out?
No, they're not blocked out. That's the point. It's because Apple don't block them out now, because everyone knows when they've blocked it out. So they just leave it blank. So everyone now knows it's then because they got it blank. They can't win. They can't win.
No.
And there's a last one, which I thought was a really good question. I want to keep this fairly short as a discussion, but it makes a good point. On Mac Rumors, they're saying, where is Apple's 5K Thunderbolt display? And the Thunderbolt display has got massive neglect. If you look at the change in the form factor of the iMac, you'd have thought that the Thunderbolt display would follow, because it would be dead easy to achieve that. But there's nothing. Yeah. It's still the same old POS, well, 1080p display, or 1920p, whatever it is.
Yeah, I mean, there's a simple reason for that, because there's no connector right now that can even transport 5K resolution.
But you would have thought Apple could create one. Even if you get the res the same, you'd have thought the form factor would change because the production cost would go down.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't get that. I really don't get that.
Yeah, and Deepan is saying in the chat room, and he's right, Thunderbolt 3 will do that, so... Yeah, whenever that comes
out. What happens next month will always be better, but it's the form factor. If you're going to make casings, make casings all the same so that it's easier and it reduces your production cost. And I can't believe that there's no... Unless they need to reform the panel, but they had the same resolution of panel in the original iMac, so I don't get the logic. I really don't get the logic behind that one. Thunderbolt 3 is already out, says Ben in the chat room. So
but not in any Mac.
And not in any Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yet.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We've got some fantastic stuff with them. They're absolutely wonderful. We had a little blip of the service this week, and we sent them a ticket, and it got elevated, and bang, we were back online straight away. Thanks to Anders for spotting that the website was down, because none of us go there, so we don't notice. It's just full of the rubbish that we produce on this podcast, for God's sake. If you'd like to support UK2 and support us in the process, then go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. You'll get all of the offer codes there for UK2, or you can go britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, and that'll straight to your sign-in page, so that they'll know that we sent you and that you're a returning customer from BTN, and it supports BTN. Also, thanks to everyone who donates through Patreon. We've had an awful lot of people go through that. We're going to get back to doing our Patreon Hero starting in February. We've got a lot of people that do that. If you've taken a Slack room membership, so if you don't know about it, come to the Slack room. Send me an email that says, let me in the Slack room, we'll let you in the Slack room. If you've taken that as an option and used your membership of BTN, if you like to get in the Slack room, you know, we'd appreciate it if you gave us a little donation through Patreon for that privilege of being in the chat room. We don't stop anyone going in. It's not mandatory, but... You know, please give us a support. BritishTechNetwork.com/support, I think, takes you to a Patreon link.
Also, BritishTechNetwork.com/Patreon takes you to that same place.
There you go.
Yep.
So that will get you through, and you can donate whatever you want. And even if it's just $1 a month, that's fine. We've got people that donate $25 a month. We've got people that donate $10 a month. Thanks to everyone who donates anything at all. It pays for stuff like lighting. It pays for things that wear out in the studio. It pays for Kyle to do the Daily Show. If you haven't been listening to the news show, in the last few weeks. You bloody well should. It's every single day. Carl puts out a five-minute podcast that tells you everything about all the big tech news stories of the week. Well worth looking at. And
piece for Mueller's handlers as well.
And it pays for Mueller's, Mueller's pills and straitjacket. Yeah. Absolutely.
Does it pay for the beer?
Does it pay for your beer? Well, only if you're in this studio. No, I'm lying. It doesn't. We don't buy. We don't buy any beer from it. I'm lying. right. Time for the cool thing. Kelly G starts off.
Oh my goodness. I don't know that I actually have anything today, so I'm going to pick an iOS app that I got this morning that I'm very excited about, and I would be even more excited about if I were not somebody who worked from home, because then I could try it out with other people in my office. And that is the official iOS version of Exploding Kittens.
Yeah.
Which is a card game.
The week after I spent $20 to get the regular card game, they come out with a $2 version on iOS.
Yeah, but the card game is always going to be more fun.
It is.
You and I both know that that's totally the case. So there is one. You can check out the official card game on explodingkittens.com. And the thing that is funny to me about it is that... or one of the things that warms my heart is that this is one of those moments when the internet has used its powers for good and created this card game. It's all illustrated by Matthew Inman, who you know as the artist behind the site, The Oatmeal, 10 Signs Your Cat's Trying to Kill You, all kinds of really funny stuff. He's the one that wrote about how Nikola Tesla is amazing. And Ben Franklin's kind of a jerk. And that was a fun comic strip too. And he did Exploding Kittens. It's super amazing. And now you can play it on iOS with other people. It is slightly less... well, it's going to be friendly. Less fun than playing the card game, but it is slightly more portable. So I'm going to suggest that right now it's $1.99. I think that price is probably going to go up. But... definitely, it's worth getting the card game itself, but in the meantime, you can always end up playing the card game on your phone, pass and play, I think, or you can do Bluetooth or Wi-Fi connectivity, and it's really, really funny, and like if you haven't seen it, it's very warped, and particularly if you're somebody who's a cat, who's owned by a cat, you will appreciate it even more. So what? I'm going to say Steve probably finds it hilarious.
Okay.
Yes.
Muller's upset because he reckons that you stole that from the Slack room.
I didn't know there was a cool thing Slack room, so
no, there isn't.
I couldn't have.
He posted it in the Slack room earlier today, so that's he's a bit sensitive at the moment. I think he's I think it's that time of the month. where you give out enough shit, why can't you take it back? Yes, it's all one way, isn't it, with you? Steve, what have you got for us as a cool thing, mate?
A lot of people are going to find this really weird because I, of course, am a kind of a iOS fanboy and everything, but this is a really cool little thing. This is called a Remix PC, and these were available on... I think it was Kickstarter. Well, anyway, they did some sort of crowdfunding thing. What it is an Android PC. They've got their own little fork of Android that's called Remix. You know, original funny name enough. There. But anyway, if you take a look, you've got very few ports on the back of it. You've got an Ethernet port. You have two USB ports and an HDMI port and a... what the heck is that? Oh,
Ethernet?
Yeah, it's a little like mini SD. I'm sorry?
No, go on, Carol.
It looks like an Ethernet port.
There's an Ethernet port.
Yeah,
two
the
USB
Ethernet port, and I was
an
just
HDMI.
Looking at the mm-hmm. little SD or a micro or mini SD card
right,
port there as well. But anyway, it's a cool little... Android PC, and this one's 16 gigabytes. I think I ended up getting it for like $40 as kind of a early backer. I think they're selling for about 50 or 60 right now, And if you want to just have a machine that's sitting there ticking away, running something, it's not a bad investment. Anyway, so that's my pick for the week. Remix PC.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Superb. Good news. Doc, what do you've got for us, mate?
I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to pick the new GarageBand update for iOS, especially if you happen to own an iPad Pro. Even if you are not completely musically inclined, you can go into GarageBand and they have this new thing called Live Loops. It's kind of a direct steal on like Fruity Loops or some of the other looping functions that you can find in something like Logic. But it allows you to make the most insane beats with music and everything. And they actually have included the live drummers from Logic. They brought it over into GarageBand. So again, like, you know, you're making a YouTube video, and yes, YouTube now has a cool, pretty decent, like, stock music library. It used to be that music library was horrible. Now you can make something that is going to be kind of original. And yeah, the sound changed because I switched mics, because this piece of crap Nessie Blue, I want you to take this thing and shove it up your butt. It has a problem inside, and every once in a while, right in the middle of the show, it goes all buggy. So shut up. Don't comment while I'm speaking. Anyway, it's fun, and you can make really cool beats. You'd be amazed at what you can create if you don't know what you're doing. I'm kind of halfway musically inclined from beats, but not from instruments, just from, you know, being a hip-hopper banging on the table. But it's pretty incredible, and I think this is Music Memos, and you can create your own stuff even if you have no clue what you're doing.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Good choice. Paul, do you have a link?
Yeah, I'm trying.
I don't know. We'll come back to you.
Yeah, come back to me. I'm trying to find something. I'm going through my recent Amazon orders.
Patrice, you've got one that's decent. Go on.
Yes, I've got one that's actually pretty awesome. I don't know whether you've ever heard of the Philips Hue light strips. Those are those LED, basically LED bands you can put in your home or behind a desk or something. They have a new version, the Light Strip Plus, and it is way, way, way brighter. I think factor 10 brighter. It's actually delivering 1600 lumen over the whole length of 2 meters. So I got one for my sofa, and it's really, if you put it up to full brightness, it's blindingly it's really blinding you. So it's really awesome. Well, I mean, it's Philips Hue. You can't go wrong there, I would say. And it's $70 in the UK at least, and something like $80-$90 in the US.
Okay, good one, nice one.
Now, the thing to keep in mind about the light strips is that Philips does make the Philips Hue light strip, but the one that you really want to get in on is the Light Strip Plus. So if you see one and it's a really good price, then it's probably not the one you want.
Well, it will depend what you want to do. The older ones just aren't as bright. If that's fine for you, then get the cheaper one, I would say. They are okay. It's just depends.
I have a list of pictures of them because I have one, two, three, four, five at my house of the light strips. Wait.
Mm-hmm.
Five or six. I forget. Because I forget to count the one that's actually on the bar. But you can get...
No, wait a minute. We need to be sure how many it is. Is it five or six?
There's one in the window behind the man-eating wreath.
There are
two late strips in the front, two windows. There's the one in the basement and the one on the bar, so that's five.
Good.
I wasn't going to walk through it live because that's riveting television, I know. But anyway, you kind of want to look at them in person and see if they are the one that you actually want. Like, for what I want to do with them, they totally work. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I heard, Patrice, that I want to find out is the green better? Because the green is not the greenest of green in the strips I have.
It's very green, I can tell you. It has really an awesome green.
Okay, that was what I wanted to find out, because green is apparently tricky, and I wanted to see if it was actually good.
Even the old strips had a bad problem with white. You could only get, like,
kind of urine yellow was as white as that you can get, but I hear the new ones are much, much better. So
yeah, and also the white ones are much nicer. They have a good range of warm white to daylight white.
Yeah.
Say, so Doc, is there a Pantone number for that urine yellow?
No, it's because it's physical, it's a row.
The only thing I can say about the Philip Hue is if only the iOS app was better. But.
Pay attention, I had this with microphones because the Nessie took a crap.
You're right. You know when we send you an email that says, thanks for coming on the show, there's a little link at the bottom that stops your audio from ducking in Skype. If you could all do that XML change, that would be really cool. Thanks ever so much.
I did it.
No, you didn't. Trust me.
You just showed my XML file.
You just talked all over Patrice, and no, you didn't. But I'll double check that I've done it then, shall I? And it'd be my fault. It's Pantone yellow, apparently.
It's easy. It's 111111.
Oh, cool. Piss yellow. There we go. There's the reference. Piss yellow.
No, the reference was that's a number one.
So, oh, one very one. Good. Very good. Very good. too subtle for us, mate. Jesus, after this many Guinness. Right, go on then. Waiters, what have you got for
okay, me? So I'm going to go. It's probably, I'm fairly sure it's been picked in here before, but it's a use case that I'm going to put for it. So it's a little snitch. Basically what it is a piece of software that kind of sits and monitors your traffic, your internet traffic coming in and out. And it was recommended, I'm sure it was in the Mac show a long, long time ago, it was recommended.
And everyone said you wanted to switch it off though.
Yeah. But wait, I found a reason for it. So for those of us who are not lucky enough to be grandfathered into unlimited 3 data tethering packages, which is the majority of the population, I appreciate you and you've been magically grandfathered in and possibly a couple others as well. So I regularly was smashing through my tethering allowance because the amount of traveling I do. I basically what I've done is I've taken a little snitch and you can set up rules around different profiles and you can attach those profiles to different networking capabilities. So for example, my home one basically says everything in and out, fire on. Don't ask me about anything, just go for it. Tethering, basically, I have, when I'm tethering my iPhone, I think I've got like Chrome and I think Slack and iMessage and maybe a couple of other things, but really, really light touch. And it basically is just a way of making sure you don't smash through your tethering allowance. And it works really, really well. There is that, as you rightly say, Ewan, there is that pain point at the very beginning where you have to kind of go allow. And there's also keyboard shortcuts you can do for it. Because after a while I was getting sick of going click. For the any connection, then click for forever and then click for allow. But basically if you do up, 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 F, return is a quick way of kind of getting past those interfaces. It's saved my tethering allowance. And also sort of a sub pick, three, if you are like me and you are not grandfathered in unlimited tethering with three, they have recently upgraded the amount of tethering gigabytes you can get. So up until about 6 months ago, I think, it was only 6 or something like that you could get tethering. And they're not advertising it, but if you phone up and say, I would like to upgrade my tethering, they take you up to 12 for free, but they don't do it unless you phone up and ask them for it.
Okay. Well, I suppose that's I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. So you just phone 333-333-333.
Okay.
Three? Well, then there's like one of those crass. If you want to phone 3 customer services, you just dial 3 until the phone cuts out.
But yeah, so a little snitch for kind of saving your tethering allowance and adding profiles and things like that. Because the other thing is when I'm at work, I don't necessarily want some of like my backup traffic going over my work network or you know, there's all sorts of things you might want to block when you're at work. So you can do all that kind of things and just set up your work Wi-Fi on a different profile to your home one, to your tethering one and so on and so forth. And it works out really nicely. I'm really, really chuffed with it. But you're right, Ewan, there's that pain point of getting it set up. So.
Yeah, no, everyone said that they liked it, but they wanted to switch it off after about 6 minutes.
Yeah, you do have to get, you've got to kind of get over that pain point.
Yeah.
You got to learn the keyboard shortcuts in order to make it easier. You know, just, it came right before we left TUAW, or TUAW left us, a company called Hands Off reached out to me and wanted me to try that because I've always been a big fan of Little Snitch. And then, so I've been using Handoff ever since, and it's exact same program, very similar, but it's much cheaper. Like Handoff is like $14, where Little Smith is like $60, and same exact thing though. You got to notice keyboard shortcuts, otherwise, every time it comes up with the little allow disallow thing,
yeah,
baddie. But it's extremely, extremely helpful. I have profiles that say, like, don't do Dropbox and Creative Cloud crap while I'm on the show.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I found, because I set Ellis up as a limited user on my wife's MacBook Air, and I got so sick and tired of him shouting through, Dad, and it's like, I've got to authorize this place. And it's like, you've got to authorize Disney. And you're like, why the hell have I got to authorize Disney? I've set up as a limited user with an age range that this is well within. Why have I got to suddenly come and type the admin password to get him to go to it? And it was like every 5 seconds. And now, as a result, I'm just like, Ellis, right, don't go to any bad shit. And he goes, okay, fine. Right, here's an unlimited account. Because it's like, I'm trying to be a good parent is too hard. You know, I'm a technically aware good parent, and it's still too hard for me. Not good enough.
Yeah.
My cool thing is the BBL Smash app. And you're going to go, what the bloody hell's the BBL Smash app? Big Bash League is cricket that goes on through the winter months in Australia. And the application itself is shit. It's awful. It's a badly written, really crap.
Wow, you sold me.
Piece of rubbish. It's difficult to play. It's not particularly accurate. And all it is about selling add-ons. But
did you guys tell Ewan what the cool thing is supposed to actually be?
But there's a but. The but is that the Big Bash League, I watch it on Sky on my iPad Pro here every morning. I come into work and I set my computer up and I make myself some toast and I set my iPad Pro up over here and it has the Big Bash League on. And the Big Bash League, I defy any American who hates cricket and has no idea about cricket not to watch the BBL 5 Big Bash through the winter months and not be hooked on it, because it is great, great television sport entertainment. If you like sport, you will get it. It's like 20 overs, so it only lasts for a couple of hours. One side goes in, knocks it all over the place. Another side goes in, tries to knock it all over the place more than the first team did. And there's always a winner. And if there isn't a winner, there's a super over at the end, which is superb fun and entertainment. And you're going, well, okay, but they don't show it in the US. Thanks for yawning, whoever that was.
That was me, sorry.
Yeah, the US will get it. The Scots won't, though, because they're still blowing air into a sheep's bladder.
That's just because it's cold on Saturday nights.
Yeah, no, the Irish gave you the pipes, mate, and you still haven't got the joke. The Big Bash League, I suggest you watch it. And you're going, well, they don't show it in the US. It doesn't matter. Australian cricket sell an Apple TV pass for it. There's my link back into Apple.
Oh.
So you all can watch it anywhere in the world. You haven't got to worry about proxy tunnels, because if you bought the pass, you bought the pass. Plain and simple. And you can watch it wherever you want. It's coming to an end this week, and that's the sad part, is the fact that after this week, there will be no more cricket for me to watch. I've got the semi-finals tomorrow with the Melbourne All-Stars and the other team that are qualified. And then the finals are on Sunday, and then there's no more BBL till next year. But I urge you, if you are an American, get yourself a pass and watch BBL. You will love it. It might not be at the best time in the world for you in terms of watching it, but you can TiVo it or something like that, or you can watch the highlights or
especially for Doc.
Yeah, but Doc will still be awake, because it's last thing after he comes back from the nightclub. Be perfect.
I was gonna say, that's gonna be the closest time zone is him in Australia.
Not bad at all. So I urge you to watch it, because it's well worth it. Next year BBL6 will be awesome. It's been a fantastic, it's easily the best domestic sporting event in the world, no question. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso, and you can find me over at the Mac Observer and occasionally on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. And you can hear me on my own show, which is called The After Show with Mike and Kelly. And we have a new episode coming up imminently. So that's where I am.
Excellent, mate. If you're in the Slack room, Muller's just posted a picture of my new barbecue, bastard. Doc, where are you, mate? On mute.
I am unmuting.
Yeah, there you good go. Lad.
I am on this network a couple of times a week, normally on a Mac show and a Big show. I thought Weeder sent a message that the next one was canceled, like in 10 minutes.
No, it's but, on. Big show. It's what he's here for. Mind. He's washing up now, though.
Oh, God, this guy. Anyway, so that and Doc Rock all over the internet.
All right, mate. No, we're definitely on. Big show's definitely happening. Stay around. Patrice, where are you, son?
As always, every week on the Mac Show here on BTN, on Twitter at casual_kitchen, and all the links and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Good man. Thank you very much. And Stephen Sandy, where the devil are you, mate?
I am at Stephen Sandy on S-A-N-D-E on Twitter. I can also be found at Apple World Today. That's appleworld.today. And we also do the AWT Daily Update, which or the News Update, which is a daily update on news every day on iTunes. And that's about it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And thanks for coming back, mate. It's been a long time since we've seen you. I hope you get back again soon.
Sounds good.
And last but by no means least, Wheaters, where are you, buddy?
You can find me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter.
Doing the washing up.
Indeed.
My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network on at British Tech. If you want to get your updates about when the Daily Show, the news show from Carl is coming out, then follow at British Tech. And we'll see you all next week. If you're going, hang on, Rankin, where's last week's show? You haven't posted it yet. Yes, I'm useless. I do apologise. Thanks for listening.